Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Everyone said, amen. John chapter 5, verse 1 says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up." Just a little bit of history. They believed at this time that an angel would come and stir up the waters. First person in was the first person to be healed, is what they believed. The Bible doesn't tell us that there is any truth to that whatsoever. Someone else, he says, always gets there ahead of me. Anyone ever feel like that? Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't walk on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, pick up your mat and walk." What a great account. I think the Lord needs a huge round of applause. Thank you, Lord. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a story. It's an account. This actually happened. This really, really happened. And there were witnesses. This gospel was written while many people were still alive. They could have easily said that didn't happen, but it did happen. And what an incredible thing that this man was paralyzed for 38 years. Friends, how many of you know that's a long time in anyone's language? It's a long time. Would you agree? 38 years. You know, if this situation were to happen today, this weekend, if this had have happened, that means this man was in this situation. It started for him in 1981. How many of you remember 1981? Wow. Man, this is a young church. I really thought there'd be a few more hands. I'm a little bit, I don't know where to go from here. Okay, well, let me help you, for those of you who would remember the dinosaur age. Let me just refresh your memory as to what was going on in 1981, just so that we have some sort of realization, just a touch point of how far back we're talking this guy was dealing with being paralyzed. The number one hit of 1981 was Jesse's Girl. I'm wishing. No? Okay. That's how old we are, guys. Yes. Do you know, I didn't know this about Rick Springfield. He's an Aussie. Did you know that? I didn't know that. No, he's an Aussie. Yeah, come on. Only an Aussie can get away with writing about him wanting to sleep with another man's wife and it becomes a number one hit. God bless you, Australia. But that's what he was doing. And guess what we were watching? Guess what just came out onto the big screen, guys? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Come on, yeah. We've won you over now. Now it's like, yeah, I think I do like that era. Buckingham Palace had a huge announcement to make in 1981. It was the announcement of the engagement of Prince Charles to Diana Spencer. Gee, hasn't a lot happened since then? Wow. A blight on Australian sporting history took place in 1981, ladies and gentlemen. We had Trevor Chappell do something very interesting at yes, some of you may remember the famous underarm bowl, the last bowl of the game. And that's what we do in Australia. When we're up against the ropes, you just throw them an underarm bowl. Do you know, in 1981, you could buy a house in Essendon which is a suburb not too far away from here, for those of you listening on podcast, a very expensive area, for $44,000. Do you want to? I'll go one step further. In 1971, you could buy a house in Mount Alexander Road, Essendon, for $11,000. Yeah, yeah. You spent more than that on coffee this week. You could have bought a house in Essendon. Yes. Well, let's not forget. Also, in 1981, the VFL premieres the Carlton Football Club. Hey, come on, guys. That's yeah, there it is, right there, holding up the cup. Just one number 13, guys, of number 16. Just in case you've forgotten, for you Paul Carlton supporters out there, let's just hold our hearts right now as we grieve and bemoan the fact that we will never see one ever again. So we just went down memory lane there, and you know what, like that's just such a long time ago. This guy's been paralyzed since then. That's a long time. Like, we're having some fun remembering, but he's been in pain. He's been isolated. He can't get on with his life. Friends, that's a long time in anyone's language to be suffering from anything. That's a long time to be single. That's a long time to be addicted. It's a long time to be angry. It's a long time to suffer from a lack of confidence. It's a long time to have unforgiveness. It's a long time to be out of shape. And it's a long time to be out of sorts in any relationship in your world. It's a long time. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus saw him there, the Bible says this, that Jesus saw him, and when he knew that he had been there for a long time. Do you know there is a God in heaven, and he knows what you are going through right now. He knows the equivalent of your 38 years. I might not know, but there is a Savior in heaven who right now is walking through these rows, and he's looking at you and he says, I know your need. I know. I don't know. And you may be really annoyed that people don't seem to get you, but God gets you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows your disappointments. He knows your anger. He knows your frustration. He knows your fear. He knows everything. And he knows the things that have been plaguing us for what seems to be a long, long time. And it's very easy. Just like this man, how many of you would agree that if you were this man, 38 years crippled, lying beside a pool, how many of you would start to think, I think this is just my life? Yeah. We would forgive him for thinking like that. If he was to say, you know, I think this is just my life now, we would go, I understand why you think that way. Just like I understand when some of you would say to me, Pastor Richard, my husband has been angry for so long, I think that's just our marriage. I think that's just what happens. Whenever I ask him a question, he reacts badly. We have a fight. That's what we've been doing for 22 years, for 8 years. I don't know how long it's been going. But some of us have become really resigned to the fact that that's what your life is going to look like. And it's very easy to believe that about many areas of our life, where you start to think, this is just my life. I'm not working in the career that I would like to be working in. That's just my life. I tried to break this addiction so many times, but I can't seem to. That's just my life. I've tried to break pornography so many times, but that's just my life. That my dad did it, now I do it. I want to tell you something. That man celebrated 38 birthdays lying down. But on his 39th birthday, he stood up and he was cutting a cake standing up. And just when you think this is my life, there is a God in heaven that says, don't you dare think that this is it. Where do you read in your Bible that we see someone suffering like that and God just says, that's just it for you? No, you just need to suffer with that for the rest of your natural. That's not the Bible we read. Friends, if that's the Bible that we read, I wouldn't bother being a pastor, because how depressing is it when people say to you, my life's a mess, and I just go, that's just the way it is, bro. How depressing is that? Rather, I can look them in the eye and say, listen, I know it's tough. I know you're hurting, but I do believe that there is a God in heaven who, just as he healed this man, I believe he can heal your relationship. I believe he can heal your body. He can heal your children. He can bring it home. I believe this. I have to believe this. I don't believe you're going to be in debt your whole life.
No, no, my grandparents were, my parents were, and I think I'm going to be in debt as well. No, it could go that way, but I wonder whether you can be one of these people. I'm pretty excited about this because it's pretty depressing to just be able to just simply look people in the eye and say, I've got nothing for you. No, no, I serve a God that when an old man like Moses, who when he was 40, tried to deliver the children of Israel, didn't work out too well, ends up shepherding sheep for his father-in-law for 40 years. Listen, not 4 years, not 14 years, for 40 years he was walking around. Do you think Moses would have thought to himself, you know what, I think this is just my life? Don't you think? Don't you think he would have watched Maths and then just sort of thought, you know what, that was a great episode. And then he would have thought, you know, as he would have gone to bed thinking he's got to wake up in the morning and go take out the sheepies again, he would have thought, this is just my life. What he didn't realise, that was Thursday night. But then come Friday at about 2 p.m., he sees this bush over there in the corner. And then he walks over toward this bush and it's burning. And, Moses, take off your... Next thing you know, the guy's delivering all of Egypt. Just when he thought it was all over. No, not with God. Not with God. Not with God. Just when you go, I think it's done. I think it's all... Yeah, Moses thought like that, but it wasn't. You know, there's a man called T.D. Jakes. Anyone heard of T.D. Jakes? T.D. Jakes, they call him the Prince of Preachers. Anyone ever heard him preach? He's a fireball and he's great and he brings the word and he brings encouragement. But a lot of you have only heard of him recently, really. Most of you have heard about him since he has been pastoring in Dallas, Texas. What we sometimes fail to realize is T.D. Jakes pastored a church for 20 years in Virginia, and he could not get his church beyond 400 people. And listen, he's the same preacher. He had the same knowledge. He had the same vocabulary, the same Holy Spirit. And he would preach with all of his might and couldn't get the church past 400. And he basically resigned himself to say, this is what God's got for me. And he was happy with that until he got an invitation to take on a church in Dallas, Texas. And so he prayed about it and he said, Lord, that okay, we'll go down there. By the time he got down there, there were 3,000 people waiting for him to come for his first sermon. From there, someone in the church took some video footage of him. They uploaded it. TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, took that message and they broadcast it right across America. Now the man is preaching to hundreds of thousands of people. He pastors a church of about 50,000 people. Just when he's thinking, this is it for me, 400 people, Virginia. God says, who are you serving here? Well, this is not religion. This is not some sort of thing that we've made up. This is the God of the universe says, trust me, keep believing. Let me take you on a journey. That's what we can make out from this story. 38 years lying down. And God says, yeah, I know, and I can change it in a moment. I love that. No rehab for him. Did you notice that? No rehab. Like sometimes guys, you know, I know God uses natural processes a lot. Do you know sometimes he says, you know what? There's not much time for that. Let's just get on with it. Yeah. Let's be open to whatever God wants to do. Do you know, one thing I've realized about God, some of us in this room, you're waiting. And you're playing the patient game right now. One thing I see in the Bible is when someone had to wait a very short amount of time, what they were trying to achieve wasn't too big, to be honest. For example, Nehemiah was desperate to build a wall around Jerusalem. He only had to wait 4 months for God to release him to do that. Not saying it wasn't a great work, but it wasn't nation-changing, really. Do you know, the Apostle Paul, before he went out to preach and built all those churches, he had to wait 14 years. Don't you think he got a little bit frustrated sometimes? God released me. God says, just hold on, Paul. There's just a little bit more to learn, a little bit more to develop. I just need to create some more connections for you. 14 years, he developed a whole lot of churches and wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. Moses waited 40 years and God built a nation out of him. So sometimes the longer you wait, it's like a slingshot. God is just pulling it back. Come on, some of you single people, you're like, God, and God's going, I'm getting him ready. He just needs a little bit more money, girl. He's just, God's just getting, he's getting him, because right now he's broke, right? Right now, she's still got a shopping habit that would send you
into the asylum, right? So God's just trying to sort out some things before you come across their path, amen? I wonder what God's planning. And of course, let's not just take away the fact that, you know, Jesus didn't then just simply help this guy up and help him walk around and take him on a physio journey that lasted. You know, I mean, Jesus could have done that, but he actually did a miracle. And I'm so glad he did, because right now, you would look me in the eye and say, what you're believing for is going to take a complete miracle. I want to say this to you. God is not really interested in anything you can do yourself. Because let me be really blunt with you. Anything you can do, you should do. You should do that. It's like when you're driving your car, God, please put petrol in my car. God says, you do it. But God, you're the God of miracles. Don't be lazy. That's to all the wives out there who leave their car on empty so that the husbands... Come on, husbands. Come on, give me a little bit of love. A little bit of love, husbands. Come on, just a little bit. Every time you get in there, the yellow thing's staring at me. What's going on here? There's not a petrol shortage around here. Anyway. Can I really help you? You know, God is not interested in anything that you can do for yourself. Because he would say, look, are you hearing what I'm saying? God, please help this steak go into my mouth. No, you just grab your knife and fork. But God, please change this habit that I can't seem to break. God says, ooh, I'm interested in that. I like that. God, please bring the right person into my life, because I'm trying, but the right person just doesn't seem to be coming. God says, ooh, I'm interested in that. Are you saying that you need the God of the impossible? Yeah. Yes. Great, God says. That's my thing. That's what he loves to do. And some of us have forgotten, like Mark 10:27, Jesus was talking about things that are impossible. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at them intently and he said, can you read it all out together with me? Humanly, it's not up there, is it? I just thought you guys couldn't read there for a moment. 1, 2, 3. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But not with God. Everything is possible with God. I love that. Everything is possible with God. Hey, listen, if this is stirring you up and you're getting a little bit angry because, like, you've been praying and please don't cast your anger at me. It's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to make this stuff up and annoy you and just try and frazzle you and to shake you up. But then at the end of the day, there's no substance to this. This is your Bible. You go read it on your shelf. The God of the universe allowed it to be in your hands. I think he wants us to believe this. I'm just trying to be a faithful messenger to say, let's not... I'm preaching a whole lot better than what you guys are clapping out there. Let's take it on. If it's possible, let's take it on. Amen. Give someone a high five and then high five the other person that you didn't love as much. Some of you may have seen a Facebook post that went up from a girl that goes to this church. And they discovered, as a husband and wife, they discovered that their daughter's got a genetic condition. And you guys would know, if those of you who are following Kim and Jonathan, you would know that they discovered something about their daughter Vienna, that according to this genetic condition, she won't talk, she won't walk, she's going to be a handful for you guys. Brace yourself, it's going to be a very hard journey for you. And they said, look, we understand what you're saying, but you know what, we're going to come up here and we're going to lay hands on her, we're going to start praying and we're going to believe God. We're going to go over to the pole over there and we're going to keep praying and praying and praying. And those of you who know that little girl would know that God has done an absolute miracle in her life. It's a miracle, there's nothing, you can't explain it. It's a miracle of God, it's a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle, but sometimes we just get used to God's miracles. But they're happening right there in front of us. Friends, this is what I'm trying to say to you tonight. It's not over until it's over. It's not over until they say that the slightly overweight lady has sung. Right? Do you know how they say that, you know? I don't know, is it politically correct these days, Steve? I don't know. But are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, when you take your final breath, I'm going to agree that I think it's over. No, is that okay? I mean, I try and be positive, but I think it's pretty much over then. But until that takes place, if you've got breath in your body, then there is a call on your life. There is a God who loves you and you and you and you and you, and He's working and He's happy to do the miraculous if we will allow Him to. I love this. God is interested, friends. Let me tell you why He's interested, because Proverbs 13 says something really interesting. Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled, it's a tree of life. God doesn't want a bunch of Christians walking around with a sick heart because God hasn't fulfilled our dreams enough. Now listen, maybe it hasn't happened for you yet, but you need to stay in hope. You need to stay in hope that you serve a God who is still watching. He hasn't forgotten. He's watching, He's looking at you. And he's thinking, I wonder how I can work things out for this. But listen, there's a few steps that we need to take. Is that okay? Yeah. There are a few steps here. Because some of us would know about a woman who had the issue of blood, right? Let's be really blunt about it. This poor woman had her period for 12 years, didn't stop bleeding. The Bible says she was paying money to doctors and she was growing worse and worse. The Bible says that she heard about Jesus, heard. Just like some of you are hearing about Jesus tonight, you're hearing. And she decided within herself that she's going to go and seek Him out. Now, that we sometimes miss what that means. She wasn't allowed to do that. She had to stay separated and isolated because of her illness. But she didn't care. She thought, you know what? I don't care what you guys say, because you know what? As long as I don't get caught, I'm going to get healed. And so the Bible says that she pressed in. There were crowds everywhere, is the way the Bible paints the picture. There were people everywhere. The Bible says that she got down low in between people's legs pretty much, and she touched just the hem of His garment, and the Bible says she got healed. And listen, wait for it. Jesus says, who touched me? I felt power come out of me. And the disciples almost mock Him. What are you talking about? So many people, and you're saying, who touched you? He goes, yeah. I know there's lots of people, but only one person actually touched me. Only one person. Listen, you can come to church your whole life and never touch Jesus. Never. But you can say, you know what? I don't care what anyone else is doing. I don't care if they're worshiping or they're not. I don't care what they're doing, whether they're pressing in or not. I need a miracle and I'm going to press in. I'm going to get from God what I need. Get from God what you need. She did. And she got her miracle and Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you well, not your behavior. Some of us are thinking, but I'm not worthy of God doing it. Yeah, she wasn't worthy either. But her faith made her well. Come on, we need to arm ourselves with some pretty ridiculous faith tonight. Can we do this? Did you notice how Jesus asked a question, which I highlighted during the reading of His word? And here it is. Do you want to be made well? I know you say you do. Do you actually want to be made well? I would think it's a ridiculous question. Jesus doesn't think so. Because see, this man was lying there for 38 years. Don't you think he would have made friends with Negative Ned and Anxiety Anna? Yeah? And Bad Relationship Billy? No, don't you think he would have made friends with them? 38 years, he would have been talking to all those other people that had sicknesses around him. And Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Do you know what the consequence of him walking? You've got to say goodbye to Anna and to Ned and to Billy and to Sally and to Jimmy. And you know what? You're not in that group anymore. And some of us have built friendships based on your weakness, on your addiction, on the negative things of life. That's how you've made friends. Two girls have made friends because they both got cheated on. And then as soon as you get healed, the other girl still wants to talk about it, but you're like, girl, I'm over it. But you're not the same. You're not the same. You've changed. Of course I've changed. I've been healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm very, very different now. Yes, I am completely different. But you've changed. Bro, what's going on with you? We used to talk about other girls and stuff all the time. Yeah, I know, but God spoke to me and told me to be faithful to my wife and to honour her. Yeah, but come on, what about you? Bro, you know what? I want to honour my wife. You know, this ring means something to me. Oh, we're not going to be mates then because you're not one of the boys. Great. Great, because I'd rather be one of his boys than to be one of your boys any day. In Jesus' name, bring it on. Come on. If
you're not going to get excited, I will. Ruin the joint. Come on. Come on, iPad. Hey, you know, guys, can we get the theme of the year? The theme? Here it goes. Here it comes. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right, there it is. This is the theme of our year, Never Without You. For those of you that are new, maybe you don't even know what that means. What it means is we're not going to go anywhere without Him, because we believe He is our miracle maker. We're not going to step into territory where we don't even know whether God's there or not. We're going to say, God, we're not going to go unless you're coming with us. Do you know, this guy honestly believed that his miracle was in the water. It's over there somewhere. Just like some of us are believing that your miracle is at that next conference. It's that next podcast that I listen to. It's that book over there. If I just get to hang out with that, if I travel all the way to Charlotte, or maybe if I go to South Africa, and if I just go somewhere because I just got to get into a pool. Meanwhile, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, is standing right beside him. And he's looking everywhere else. If I can, hey buddy, with the beard and stuff and the caftan, if you can just help me get into the pool, everything will be fine. And the one who created the pool and the earth and all the universe is standing right beside him. Do you know what we've got to be careful of? The year is called Never Without You. You've got to be careful that you don't have a mentality of never without pool. I need a pool. What's your pool? What are you thinking is going to bring the hope you need? What are you thinking is going to be? If I just got the right counsellor. I'm all for counselling. I do lots of it. Lots of people do. It's great, some great advice. But only one person can actually give you revelation that changes your heart. It's just information. But when you take it on, it's God who actually does a miracle inside of you. Come on, is it never without you or is it never without pool? What's your pool? What are you thinking is going to bring the miracle into your world? Do you know what he says? If I could just get someone to help me. Everyone gets in before me. Do you know what we call that? We call that the victim mentality. Do you know what it is? Man, I would have got the job at work if no one worked there, I would have got the job. I can't believe everyone seems to get ahead of me. Hey, listen, who brings promotion into your world? Who do you believe is in control of your life? Let's not believe that, listen, God's got you wherever you will allow Him to have you. You're not a victim of anything or anyone. He is your victor. He's your friend. He's your God. He wants to take you on a journey if we will allow Him to. And in the end, I'm finishing up. In the end, what happens? He says, wow, okay. Now, you'll notice that he didn't even agree with Jesus. Jesus just looks at him and goes, get up, pick up your mat and walk. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. Now, that's a bit strange to me because he does get up. But remember, he's been lying on that mat for how many years, guys? How many of you would want to see that mat ever again? Now, be honest, would you ever want to see that mat? What does it remind you of? It reminds you of 38 wasted years, what you could have been doing with your life. It reminds you of a negative situation. Isn't that what that mat reminds you of? Yeah, but Jesus says, now listen, you're up on your feet. If you start walking around now, nobody will ask you about your miracle if you don't carry your mat. But when you carry your mat, it says to everyone, hey, I've got this, but I'm actually walking. And people will say, why are you carrying a mat? Because I was on this for 38 years. That's why. That's why I was actually on this thing for 38 years, but I don't need it anymore because Jesus actually healed me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Some of us want to run away from the negative things that have happened to us. It's going to be the very thing that gives God the most glory in your life. It's a testimony. He will champion everything that has happened in your world. But you know, we're going to be willing to carry the mat. And once we carry it, we get up, we carry our mat and walk. Don't stand, walk. Keep moving forward. Amen. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Him a huge round of applause in this place.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.